This is the third part of the series of shows on Prashadam. Last week we ended with the Prashadam prayer. This material body is a lump of ignorance, and the senses are a network of paths to death. We are fallen into the ocean of material sense enjoyment. Of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. It's very difficult to conquer over the tongue in this world, but Krishna is very kind to us. He has sent us very nice prasadam to conquer the tongue. Now let us take that prasadam to our fullest satisfaction and glorify His Lordship, Radha and Krishna, and in love, call for Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda to help us. So our process is so nice, you can eat your way into the spiritual world. The example is given that if one apple on the tree is ripe and ready to pick, probably all the other apples are ripe and ready to pick too. So if you can control the tongue, then all the other senses will automatically come into line. The tongue is the most difficult one to control because it has an almost uncontrollable urge to speak nonsensically and to eat anything and everything. So if you control the tongue, and that doesn't mean to stop eating or to fast, it just means to eat nice, sumptuous Krishna prasadam, dairy products, grains, fruits, vegetables, legumes, which are nicely prepared and offered to Krishna. And then one can take those remnants of foodstuffs to one's full satisfaction. And in this way, go back home, back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. It's like when you're sick, there's a certain diet that the doctor will prescribe in order to bring you back to health. So if you take prasadam and take the holy name as your dual medicines, you'll be cured from birth, death, disease, and old age. And we're reminded of that every time we sit down and take prasadam and chant the prasadam prayer. Now this is an addendum to the prasadam prayer that many temples chant as well. Mahaprasada Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Shalpa Punya Vitam Rajam Vishvasho Neva Jayate. O King, for those who have amassed very few pious activities, their faith in Mahaprasadam, in Sri Govinda, in the holy name, and in the Vaishnava is never born. So the reverse is true for those who have amassed Yeshu Antagatam Papam Jnana Punya Kamanam, those who have acted piously for many, many previous births and whose sinful activities are just not even a memory. It's been so long since they've done any sinful activity, so many lifetimes, it's not even a memory. It says those have great faith in Sri Govinda, in the holy name of Krishna, in the Vaishnavas, and in Mahaprasadam. But one has to have faith in prasadam. And when you sit down and you take prasadam, it's called seva. It's called seva. It's not enjoyment. Just like when we chant using our tongue to say the holy name of the Lord, that's called seva. That's serving the Lord in the form of His holy name. Similarly, when we sit down and we reverently engage the tongue in consuming the remnants of food offered to the Lord, that's also seva, that's service to the Lord. It's not the same level as enjoyment, which is called bhoga. Prasadam means giving service. It's as good as Krishna, and it should be respected as good as Krishna. So one must have faith that it's not material. Those who are attached to the Krishna conscious movement and are attached to the service, they should take prasadam, first class prasadam. Everybody likes the taste of prasadam. Both prasadam and the Lord's name are on the same Brahman platform, spiritual platform. So you can be chanting Hare Krishna and dancing and singing, you get tired, you get hungry, you take prasadam, and then you go back, you get your strength back, and you resume dancing and singing back and forth. And not, they're both equally powerful. They're both on an equal level of service. Not that one is less than the other. Not that the main thing is chanting, and we're just eating in order to maintain our bodies. The taking of prasadam is just as good. It's on just as high a level as the chanting of the holy names itself. So one should take prasadam with great faith and chant the holy name and worship the deity in the temple, always remembering that the deity, Mahaprasadam, and the holy name do not belong on the mundane platform. So this is a letter that Prabhupada wrote in 1971 to Kirtiraj. And it's entitled, How We Serve Out Prasadam. We should never waste Krishna Prasadam. Best thing is to cook only what is required and then give each person what he wants. That is the Vedic system, that the people sit in rows behind their plates and servers pass down the rows and put a very small portion of each foodstuff on each plate. Unless there is some objection by a person, then nothing is given. Then if anyone wants more, the servers pass up and down the rows continually and give more if anyone requests. In this way, nothing is wasted and everyone is satisfied. And this is ideal, if you've ever been served prasadam in this way. And this is the standard in India. I mean, everybody does it. In India, you have a lot more space. You have a lot more devotees, both to take prasadam, serve prasadam. And it's so nice. There will be a leaf plate placed in front of you and some water. So you take the water and you wash the leaf plate. And then the servers will start coming with buckets and spoons. And they'll put the prasadam on your plate. They won't touch your plate with the spoon. I think it'll mention that later on. I'll just save that and mention that. And eventually you'll just say, little dal, little rice, one chapati. And you just start very, very little like that. But they're coming all the time at regular intervals. So by the time you finish one chapati, would you like another chapati? Yes, one more, like that. And they're just replenishing you all the time, as much or as little as you want. But they don't just serve this huge, huge heaping. I mean, it just looks gross. I mean, it just looks unseemly to have a whole big plate of prasadam. Sometimes we do that because we're afraid that there won't be anything forthcoming, you know. It's like we feel if I don't eat it now, then sometimes at the Sunday feast when we serve out buffet style, a lot of the devotees will... The regulars, I don't know, devotees, regulars, you know, whoever it is that comes for the prasadam, they'll take a lot. And then if you come at the end, like maybe you're engaged in the philosophy or you're asking some questions, when it gets to the buffet, you might lose, you know. So this is a very nice system of serving out just what everybody needs. And then everybody's just satisfied. And then when you're finished, you just put your hands over the plate like that. And you kind of boss coffee, you know, like that. And still they'll keep coming and coming, so you have to do that many, many times just to make sure that you're, you know, really, really satisfied. So here's some of the rules. The devotees sit on the floor in rows and you face each other, but there's enough room between you that servers can go down the one side, servers can be going down both sides, maybe even in different directions. Those that are serving you should be very clean, peaceful, and satisfied. As I mentioned yesterday, it's very good to eat before serving, because if you're serving and you're in anxiety, there may not be enough left for you. At the end, you won't serve the devotees to their full satisfaction. You'll be withholding, you know. it's good that the servers eat to their full satisfaction first. And then when you're eating, you know, Prabhupada never conversed. He talked so much. You know, Prabhupada was talking all the time, spreading Krishna consciousness. The whole Krishna consciousness movement is based on Prabhupada's words. And there was a steady stream of words all the time, but not while he was eating. He did not eat, honor prasadam, and talk while he did that. Generally, he would take his plate. He would not sit in the company of other god brothers or other devotees. He would sit in his room, and in deep meditation, he would take the prasadam. He didn't take much. One time in Australia, we always offered Prabhupada a big plate. And he said, I am an old man, I have tasted so many things, so I don't need much. He would just take a few bites. Once in a while he's hungry. Once in a while, more puris, you know, more puris. A famous story, and Prabhupada ate a whole bunch of puris. He was really hungry. But on the whole, he didn't eat a lot. And then the remnants of the plate, which would consist of 90% of what had originally been brought to him, would be taken outside of his room, and the devotees would be waiting out there to get those remnants of prasadam. Seniors should be served first. Householders should serve the guests. Old people and children should be served first. Place salt and lemon on each plate before those to be served are seated. Always serve water first. Go around serving seconds until everyone is satisfied. Don't be stingy. Don't hold anything back because you want to take it later. Prasadam is meant for distribution. Eighth point, do not touch plates with the serving spoon. Touching the plate contaminates the spoon. If the spoon becomes contaminated, you should wash it. So people are eating off their plate, and you don't touch the plate with the serving spoon, because then when you put the spoon back in there, you'll be putting whatever contaminants might have been on the plate back. If you should accidentally touch the plate, then you need to go and wash the spoon before you resume serving. Ninth point, don't let your fingers touch any of the preparations, even water. Salt should never be served by hand. Use a spoon. 10th, there are 13 points altogether. This is the 10th. Never touch prasadam with your feet or step over it. So we don't step over prasadam. And as a corollary point, we don't step over any part of anybody's body. If there's a crowd, such as sometimes we have wall-to-wall people during a festival, and if I'm moving around, I have to get the lights or the sound or hear that, I'll sort of indicate to people with like this movement, please move your feet and allow me a little passage, because the soul and the super soul are inhabiting each and every body, and the feet are the lower part of the body, just like we discussed on Sunday. It's a great insult to put your feet on someone's body. And so we ask people to make a little path so that we don't step over their outstretched foot or their outstretched hand. It's considered to be an offense to the super soul. 12th point, don't drag buckets along the floor and make clanging noises with pot handles or utensils. Serve quietly. And the 13th point, after everyone is finished honoring prasadam, clean the place immediately. This is a quote from Prabhupada, Fiji, 1976. As you take foodstuff from an infected area, you become infected with some disease. So this is Krishna infected, prasadam. You take it, and one day you'll be diseased with Krishna consciousness. He also gave the example that hepatitis is a food-transmitted disease. Generally, if you have a food handler in a restaurant and he has hepatitis, many, many people who eat at that restaurant will get hepatitis because it's passed on from the carrier through food. So Prabhupada said, when the devotees would take the remnants of foodstuff that had been enjoyed by Prabhupada, the idea was we wanted to be infected. Whatever Prabhupada had, we wanted that. We wanted to catch that. We hoped it was contagious and we wanted it too. So in the same way, in a negative way, that people become infected by hepatitis through food, we also hope to be infected with Krishna consciousness through distribution of prasadam. This is George Harrison. I think this is when that record album came out, the Hare Krishna record album in 1969. And George Harrison is photographed holding a whole table. I guess he's sitting down at a table just laden with all kinds of sumptuous vegetarian foodstuffs. And George says in the following way, I think the next two slides are a quote by George Harrison. If God is in everything, why shouldn't you taste Him when you eat? I think that prasadam is a very important thing. Krishna is God, so He's absolute. His name, His form, prasadam, it's all Him. They say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So if you can get to a man's spirit soul by eating and it works, why not do it? There's nothing better than having been chanting and dancing or just sitting and talking philosophy and suddenly the devotees bring out the prasadam. It's a blessing from Krishna and it's spiritually important. Regarding the attitude for taking prasadam, if you think it is something palatable, so let me take more and more, then that is sense gratification. But still it is prasadam, so it will act. Prasadam is transcendental, but one should not take too much. When devotees would come initially to the movement, they would have some bad habits that they were giving up. They were being weaned from some bad habits, liquor, sex, intoxication, eating. So we had this experience in Australia. Devotees have given up a lot in order to come and move into the temple. And so Prabhupada said if they need to work out their frustration by eating, extra prasadam it's okay. And of course, the particular preparation that newcomers would always zero in on was halva, you know. And halva is made with sauteing grains, semolina, cream of wheat grains, and butter. And then on another burner, you put the liquid with a lot of sugar. In fact, as many grains as you saute with the butter, like if you use a cup of grains, you would use a cup of sugar. It's the same amount. And you'll use twice as much water. The proportions are 1, 2, and 4. So one amount of butter, twice that grains to saute in the butter, that same amount as a sweetener in the water, and then of course added to the water, pineapple or raisins or whatever, strawberries, however you want to flavor the halva. Frankly, when we make halva here, we don't put that much sweetener in, but if you look at the recipe book, that's what it calls for. And so devotees, you know, having given up illicit sex, having given up meat eating, having given up intoxication, you know, they needed to indulge themselves in something. And so it usually ended up being halva. And I remember, I'll never forget, in fact, this New Zealander had moved into the temple. His name was Bajanabi. And he wasn't quite as young as we were. I think he was a little older, a few years older. Maybe we were in our early 20s, and he was in his late 20s. But he would regularly, I don't know what, you know, he was getting himself off of. It was probably, I'm just guessing, some pretty heavy stuff. Because every Sunday, and we didn't have halva every day, so, you know, the day to eat halva excessively was Sunday for new devotees. So Bajanabi would eat so much halva every Sunday that he would never get up Monday morning. He would never get up Monday morning. He would pull a blanket over his head, and all the devotees would be up and around and showering, getting ready for Mangalarti, going to Mangalarti, coming back to Mangalarti. All day long he would be lying with the blanket over his head. And the day before, he had eaten so much halva, consumed so much sugar, if anyone jostled him or tried to get any response out of him, his standard reply from beneath the blanket was, "Brain damage, brain damage, brain damage." But he would usually be able to get up about Tuesday or so. And except for that one day, he was a pretty good devotee. But we just kind of, you know, sort of excluded Bajanabi from all the Sankirtan plans on every Monday, you know. I wonder if he's still around, you know. Another great, great prasadam advocate, a great devotee. And if you get a chance, read any books. There's some biographies of Jayananda. I would read those. They're incredibly inspirational. This was one of two early devotees, one of two devotees that came to Prabhupada right in the beginning, and they really helped to jumpstart the movement, and then they both disappeared. It was almost like they were just mystically sent for a few years to inspire devotees. Each one of them made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotees, and they had so much charisma and so much humility. One is Jayananda, and another one is Vishnujan. A very good book is called Radha Damodar Vilas by Vyasaki. I don't know if we have any copies, but it talks about both of these mystical, transcendental, charismatic personalities. Jayananda was based in San Francisco. Of course, they both came. Actually, Vishnujan came out of the Haight-Ashbury scene. He was a musician, and he played with a number of the more famous bands before he met devotees. Jayananda came to San Francisco from Ohio State University, and he wasn't a hippie by any means. He had a degree in engineering, and he was very much part of mainstream America, didn't have long hair, very clean cut, straight, honest, simple, straightforward, like many Mormons you meet, just that kind of a, just what you see is what you get guy. But he was very depressed in life, and he had become almost suicidal, not finding any meaning in life, was driving a taxi. And then when he met Prabhupada, he just blossomed into one of the most incredible devotees that was ever in this movement. And his whole world was about prasadam. mean, he was a big guy. He was well over 6 feet, and he never got overweight. But you want him, because he would be the first one up in the morning. He would be the first one up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he'd be the last one to go to bed at night. He never went to bed before 11. And even when he slept, the San Francisco Temple was on a street called Valencia Street, and it was kind of a bad part of town. In fact, it used to be a mortuary. So when Jayananda slept, and every once in a while, you know, some really weird people would just wander in the middle of the night, you know, because you know, it was a mortuary, and it was like ghostly haunted. People were attracted to it, and so Jayananda would sleep in the doorway. He would sleep right across the doorway. So if anyone tried to jimmy the lock or force their way in, he would be the first to know about it. So he ate a lot of prasadam, but he never gained weight because he expended so much energy in Krishna consciousness. And anything to do with prasadam, he was there. He would collect the bhog. He would go to the market in the morning, the produce market, the wholesale market, which, you know, opens at 2 in the morning. And he had one friend named Banana King Louis. This is the guy who was the king of bananas, you know, on the whole West Coast. And Jayananda would always get prasadam by giving prasadam. He always had cookies. And wherever he went, he would give people cookie prasadam and explain to them about the sacred nature of prasadam. And he would win their hearts. He would win their hearts, and then they would donate, you know, the bananas that were a little over the date or a little ripe and so on and so on. He would come back with vans and vans and vans load of bhoga, fruits and vegetables. And very rarely did he have to pay anything for that. And he collected the prasadam, the bhoga, by giving out prasadam to people. So he would collect it, he would cook it, he would offer it to Srila Prabhupada. He loved serving prasadam to others. He loved everything about prasadam. Jayananda loved every aspect of prasadam. He loved it. And that would be his typical day. It would be revolved around prasadam. Now, Jayananda also started Rath Yatras in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York. He was famous for building the Rath carts and engaging lots of people. And he would go and get the permits from the city of San Francisco for the Rath Yatra every year. And at first it was difficult, but eventually he got to know the city officials, and they would be plied with cookies and cakes and pies and things like that. So they became very, very favorable to Jayananda. So he passed away in 1977 from leukemia. And he'd been away from San Francisco for about a year. He was, first of all, organizing the Rath Yatra in New York. And then he got leukemia. And then he went to L.A. because he was trying some treatments in Mexico. And while he was in L.A. dying, he started the L.A. Rath Yatra. But a year after Jayananda had left San Francisco, the devotees went to apply to the permits for this lady. She's a big black lady, very officious looking, you know, like, you know, very, very sort of caught up in herself and everything like that. You know, typical bureaucrat, overweight and all like that. And she was sitting at a table, and the devotees were across the table, and she said, "Where is Jayananda?" And they said, "He died." And this lady, tears, they described it, tears leaped out of her eyes almost instantaneously. They were sitting at the other side of a conference table from her, and they brought the cookies and everything in the tradition of Jayananda. But when she had learned that he'd passed away, the tears literally leaped out of her eyes halfway across the table, and the table was just splattered with water. This very, very officious, sort of pompous lady, Jayananda, had found his way into the core of her heart. And one time after Rath Yatra, they used to serve out tons and tons of prasadam at the Rath Yatra festival. And one time after the festival was over, they discovered a whole garbage barrel full of gulab jamuns. And it wasn't a dirty guy. I mean, that's just what they, you know, they buy clean containers. But some or other, this one had been left behind something, and it was overlooked. And the festival was over, and everyone had gone home, and they were cleaning up. And Jayananda had his crew. His crew were just street people that just loved Jayananda. Sometimes, in order to keep them working, You know, he would go out and buy them a beer or something if they really needed it. Or give them a cigarette or something. Just so they wouldn't experience their withdrawal pangs too acutely. And they would keep serving Lord Jagannath. So he told his street crew, he says, this is prasadam. And we've got to honor it. You know, we cannot leave it sit overnight. It was meant to be consumed on Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra day. So he and about 6 or 8 guys, they ate a whole garbage can full. They must have each had 150 gulab jamuns throughout the course of that night. So going on here, it says, when he wasn't collecting the materials or planning the next festival, of which just, I think that was why he was so much involved in the festivals, because the festivals involved the distribution of prasadam. And there's two different schools on this. We don't really distribute free prasadam. We ask a donation. We actually have a suggested donation. Our festivals are $5 or $6. And there's two things that does. It enables us, it gives us the income to make a higher quality prasadam than you can if you're distributing it free of charge. So people actually get a better with more paneer and more opulent items in the prasadam. And then if taking prasadam is service, then donating in exchange for that is also service too. And the very fact that we're even able to contemplate purchasing a place in Salt Lake City is in large part because we just don't give out free prasadam. I mean, as a policy, we engage people in donating and reciprocating so the benefit is double. Now, many devotees would disagree with me, but personally, I think that you need to do this in order to be able to expand and have funds for the expansion of Krishna consciousness. And so in those days, and in many centers, the prasadam is completely free. In India, it's not generally charged for because people are poor and they have a lot of wealthy people that sponsor the distribution of prasadam. But that's what we do here, and it's worked for us. And people are very appreciative. Very appreciative. Oftentimes when you give something free, they may take it for granted. But the people that purchase our prasadam, if it's well cooked and if it's hot and if it's tasty, they actually appreciate it, because that same plate of food would have cost $15 or $20 at most Indian restaurants. And so they're getting it for less than half of the price. And they appreciate the effort on our part to give it to them. And they're hardly even aware of the fact that there is a profit. When they take the prasadam, their thought is, we're practically giving it away at cost price anyway. But because we don't take a salary, we don't have to pay our cooks, there is a profit that's built into that modest $6 fee. And so everyone is happy. The only time people aren't happy is if the prasadam's not hot, or if it wasn't cooked properly, or it wasn't cooked fully. But assuming all those elements are there, it has worked out very well for us. And our reputation here has not suffered because we haven't given out free prasadam. We have as good a reputation here as any temple has anywhere in America. So with that self-serving, is this for the yoga class here? Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Bhav. So shall we continue or shall we just stop here? Yeah, here's our yoga student. Yeah, so we'll stop here, and in this slideshow, let me just see how many more slides there are, whether they're in fact enough to warrant another session. Maybe we just should just quickly finish this here, because there's only a few more slides. Okay. So as you know, around Diwali time, Diwali coincides with the Govardhan Puja, the great celebration. And of course, Govardhan Puja is famous for Krishna's having lifted a hill called Govardhan. But along with that celebration is what's called Anukuta. Anukuta means heaps and heaps of food. And you might say it's India's version of Thanksgiving. Literally, Krishna caused a mountain of food to be offered to Govardhan, and Krishna entered into Govardhan Hill, and Govardhan itself consumed all of the food. In fact, there's a temple in Govardhan called Govardhan Mukha, I think. Mukha means tongue, and they worship this stone, which is considered to be the tongue of Govardhan. 500 years ago, I believe Sanatan Goswami was digging, and they hit this stone, and the stone began to bleed. And thus they determined that this will be finished in just a minute. Thus they determined that this stone was in fact the tongue of the mountain Govardhan, and that's worshipped in the temple nowadays. So Govardhan came and consumed all the foodstuffs, and as you can see in temples all over the world, this is celebrated in a grand fashion. I believe this is Chowpatty in Bombay, where they offer on that particular day in the fall 1,008 preparations to the Lord. The most we've ever managed, I think, here is, and it's been since Aarti's come, about 50 or so. But we'll get up there if we can. So that pretty much concludes this 37 frame slideshow about prasadam. Prasadam is so important in our religion that in India we're known as the kitchen religion. And Prabhupada said that no one should go hungry within 10 miles of any Krishna center. And so there's a very, very ambitious prasadam distribution program in India for those that can't afford it. There's the Akshaya Patra program for school children so that they can have a hot noonday meal and can help them in their studies and also reduce truancy throughout all of India. So those are the two foundational activities of devotees, chanting Hare Krishna and honoring prasadam. And both of them have to do with controlling the tongue in a very, very positive, pleasing, elevating way. Maha Prasadam Ki.